The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Our man, Joe Davidson of the Sacramento Bee. Joe D, appreciate you as always. Lots to talk about, man, and you started to tiptoe into this conversation when we were saying our hellos here, and it's Sac State. You know, obviously the season gets underway tomorrow. There's a lot to talk about with Coach Brendan Marion, Go-Go Sacramento, and all of that. But we did get some pretty big news yesterday coming from the University and Cal Expo.
How about that? And, you know, I'm a big believer, Damian, always good to see you, that it's good business to talk business. And the folks at Cal Expo knew they had a vacancy. They're not going to have FC Republic for long with the rail yards. Horse racing is no longer there, so it's an empty venue. And the CEO of Cal Expo, those folks, they reached out to Luke Wood, the president of Sacramento State, and it's good business to listen. Sac State is ambitious. They want to get a good stadium. And if it could be funded through state funds, you listen to that. I don't know if they could pull it off and have a new stadium ready for next season's kickoff. That's just such a short window. But you go for it. You see what you can do. And Luke Wood said in Chris Biederman's story, who covered it for us at the Sacramento Bee, that it wasn't going to work at Sac State. And it's only 2.5 miles or so away. Will it work? Is it too much of a disconnect? I think when you're at Sac State's position, you find a way. And will this help Sac State move up to the FBS, the highest level in college football? That is their intent. I've got questions about being an independent, which means no conference affiliation. It's going to be really hard to schedule games. But I think everybody agrees that Sac State football is trending back up with Brendan Marion. And a huge opener tomorrow, as you alluded to, but we'll see. It's going to be real curious to see what happens, and hopefully people get behind all of this. You know, Damian, let's get this working. And I think we've talked about it on this program before, that when Sac State and UC Davis are both good in football in the same year, it's excellent for this region. And it's been rare that that's happened over the decades, but it looks like that's going to be the case this year.
Joe, I think the number one thing when I saw the report from our man Chris Biederman that I didn't understand was 2026. That's 2026 is a couple months away. Like, how is that even remotely realistic?
Well, I think they're certainly hoping so. I don't think it is. I'm not in these meetings. I don't have a bulldozer or a backhoe or even a shovel. I might have a shovel. If you want to go check in the garage, I can. You're right. And they're going to have to, you know, they can't start construction on this in next June or July. It would have to start, you know, in months here by the start of 2026. And you don't want weather and mud and all of that. But we'll see. I was surprised when I first heard about this. Not surprised that they had talks, but that it could go this fast. And, we know that the Well is the revamped basketball venue on campus for new coach Mike Bibby and general manager Shaquille O'Neal. So there's a buzz, Damian, that is going on with football and basketball combined that I've never seen.
Yeah.
I've only been at the Bee since 1989, so I don't know about earlier, but there hasn't been this kind of basketball buzz ever. And I think it's all a credit to Mark Orr, the athletic director of Sacramento, born and raised, and Luke Wood, who's charismatic and ambitious, and he says what he feels. And we'll see how they could pull this off. But you're right. I just don't know if they could get it done that quick. But it's got to be at least by the 2027 season.
Is being off campus a problem?
You know, it's Sac State's always been known as a commuter school. They do have new dorms, and that helps. It's a big enrollment school. If the football team is winning, like Troy Taylor was doing in 2019, 21, 23, when they won Big Sky Conference championships before he left for Stanford, people will come. And that's just the way it is. If people are drawn to winning, and Sac State was entertaining and winning, I think people will come. And you know, it's not so far away. And there's other examples. UCLA doesn't play on campus. San Diego State doesn't play on campus. I don't think the Miami Hurricanes play on campus. So, but those are big programs. FBS for since the beginning of time, and Sac State's trying to become there. But I could certainly see the argument where it could be frustrating. But Sacramento State has said, we'll have shuttle services. We'll get people over there one way or another. They'll find a way to get it done. You know, and there's been frustrations with Hornet Stadium where there's not enough entry points to get in, and people were getting in the middle of the first quarter, probably too much tailgating.
Yeah.
I've engaged in that, not when I'm on duty, but I could see the joy in that. So that's a good subplot. It'll be interesting to see how that unfolds.
Yeah, and the season gets underway tomorrow. So all of these, there's been so much talk about FBS and independence and Pac-12s and all of, you know, Mountain West, all of these different things, the off season that you, myself, and Kenny have talked about extensively, that Coach Brendan Marion have, bringing in 70-plus new players, only 6 guys retaining from the previous roster, names that you know from college football now coming to Sac State. And starting tomorrow, Joe, it's time to win games.
Yeah, and what a great opener. South Dakota State is the FCS champion, a national champion of 2022 and 2023, and good again last season. And then their coach took the Washington State job, and 16 players followed him through the transfer portal. And the entire coaching staff left. They lost 21 transfers total, but they got a bunch of guys in. So their roster has turned over. And they have a new coach. And Sac State, as you said, Damian, 73 new players. And the one thing I've noticed about Sac State and watching their 2 scrimmages and some of the practices, very active, ferocious, and fast on defense. And the defense has dominated the scrimmages, which is often the case. But so that's, you know, we keep thinking about the go-go offense and what's it going to have, and all the receivers and the running back plays. But you got to be able to play defense. And Marion and I chatted earlier this week, and he's really high on the defense. And he drops in violent and fast and ferocious. And think about football. Why do we love football so much? Why do we love it so much in high school, college, and the pros? Because of the violence of it, the legalized violence of hitting and all of that. That's what's interesting. People dig that. They love touchdowns and crunching hits. And so we'll see. That's a huge test for Sac State. If they could win that game, they're big time back right on the radar. And then the next week's game is in Nevada against FBS Nevada in Reno. So tough 2 games for Coach Marion.
Joe, you have experienced this your entire career. Being on the sidelines when those guys hit each other is jarring. Like, it is it's an incredible sound that is made when athletes of that caliber run into each other that way. You talk about, that's the thing that we love. That's the thing I hate. We were standing down there. I don't think it was last season. I think it was the season before. I remember saying to Kenny, I got to get out of here. These dudes sound like they're murdering each other, man. I got to get out of here.
Oh, it's like car wrecks, and you half expect to see twisted metal and shattered glass. And I've been on
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find The Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sidelines for parts of NFL games. I remember years ago, Frank Gore-Tech taking off on a 90-yard run, and you're just watching this guy. Even junior college football, you go to a Sierra College game, a Sacramento City College game, an American River College football game, and you watch a game on the sidelines. Like, these guys are men. These aren't high school kids. You go to the Grant Folsom game last week, man, on ESPN with our 2 best teams in this section. They got a lot of guys who will be playing in college. Folsom's got 19 guys with Division I scholarship offers. Grant has 15. Those don't mean anything until somebody signs, but it means that they're on a radar. So, yeah, it's so different on field level or even in the stands than it is on TV.
Yeah, well, I want to get back to that Folsom Grant game in a second, but one more thing on Sac State, and you were talking about their defense a second ago, Joe, which was is amazing, because as we were talking to Brendan Marion yesterday, you know, when you look at those 70 plus players that have come in, it's, you know, the running backs, Rashad of the quarterback, they've gotten a lot of attention. But that number, that 70-plus number was split pretty evenly between the offense and the defense. And yesterday, Coach could not stop talking about the trenches. He could not stop talking about that dirty, ugly part of football that leads to the sexy part of football that everybody loves to talk about. And to hear you say that these defenses were dominating the scrimmage, that to me feels like a little bit of an indication of what we might see this season from Go-Go Sacramento.
There's no doubt about it. And, you know, there's when you have 73 new guys and an army of guys through the transfer portal, there's a lot of these guys have a lot to prove. Whether it's Jaden Rashada at quarterback or Cordell Williams, who's also battling for the job, it's quite likely that Jaden starts tomorrow, but they'll both play. Marion has confirmed that. Really trying to figure out. He really hasn't been able to settle on a guy for sure because the defense and the practices and the games have been blowing everything up. So that's encouraging there. But, yeah, there's nothing like motivation in football. And all these guys have something to prove, something to show. And for a lot of these guys, this is the last stop. You know, you can only transfer so many times. And, you know, in Sac State, in college football, we know this. People give up yards and touchdowns. And the good teams have some measure of good defense. And that's, you know, as all the talk of the go-go offense and what it means and innovative and prolific at all of Marion's stops. But you got to be able to make stops or you're just going to get run over.
And we now as we get back to Folsom and Grant, this is the most – you know, classic week one question you could possibly ask. Joe, that was an ass whooping. And the thing that we walked away with was, can anyone beat Folsom?
Yeah, it was quite the drilling. And Folsom this week plays at Seraph San Mateo. It's a powerhouse team in the Bay Area. They were in a state CIF open division game, which is the highest classification in this state, three times in the previous 4 years. Patrick Walsh, great coach, product of De La Salle. But they haven't beaten that team. And Sarah came up last season and played an early season game at Folsom and had graduated 18 starters and beat Folsom. So Folsom has to get over that hump. And then they'll soon play after that Mission Viejo of Orange County, which is state ranked higher than Folsom. So their schedule is murderous by design. I, you know, touching back on Grant, it was such a disappointment to see the Grant players lose their heads before the game. A couple of players ran onto the field and they're brushing players and coaches. And they've since addressed that, the district and the coaches. Carl Reed is a longtime coach there with the program, played there. They don't like that image. They have to fight against that image that, you know, they're a little bit reckless. And I think some of these kids, you know, we forget that they're high school kids. I think there's just too much exposure, if you will. There are some of these terrific documentary type film guys, and they do great work. And these kids love it. And they like to be seen. I'm talking about schools all over the place, all over California. And I think they just sometimes lose their heads. And the beauty of high school sports is how do you respond? Is you know, Grant plays a powerhouse team tomorrow, the best team in Fresno. Central East is coming up. And if Grant doesn't buckle down, that team will do some butt kicking and send them right back to their locker room. And then De La Salle comes up in a couple of weeks.
Right.
So the Grant Pacers are aware that they have to be better, behave better, and perform better because they have a community in Del Paso Heights that has backed that program for decades. And they were disappointed with the effort on the field and the effort off the field, the extracurricular. Second half went without incident. But by that time, the game was over. 51-13 was the final for Folsom. And Folsom has Ryder Lyons, the five-star quarterback. If people haven't seen this guy, go to a game live because you'll be watching a guy who's going to be in the NFL. 6'3", 225 pounds. Never had anything lower than an A grade in any class in his life. Great maneuverability, great will to compete. I did a follow-up story on some of the behavior, and he said, I'm okay with it because I know those guys. Okay, so that kind of clears that up. So kudos to that for taking the high road. But it's not good to look for football and for this region when guys are losing their head before kickoff.
Yeah, Ryder Lyons is incredible, man. He's absolutely the truth. You just laid out that schedule that Grant has coming up. And, you know, behavior and all of that extracurricular stuff aside, are they good enough to rebound with this schedule that they have and make another run here.
Yes. Because it's Grant, because Grant's all about resolve. Grant, some of Grant's greatest teams over the last 35 years had some section championship teams that had one or two losses, including a beatdown. And Grant got worked over last season at home by De La Salle and by Lincoln of San Diego, which went on to win the state championship. And they recovered. And they went on to win their third consecutive section championship and third consecutive Northern California championship. So this schedule is by design to toughen them up because they're going to be in the Metro League and they'll breeze through that league. And Grant's now in the Division One playoffs, moved up in division, used to be there years ago. So they could potentially see Folsom again in that playoff bracket, including Oak Ridge, which is our number three ranked team up in El Dorado Hills, a powerhouse program with Casey Taylor. So can they bounce back? They have no choice but to bounce back and playing better, behaving better, and not just letting the moment get too big for them. But yeah, I could see Grant starting with one win and three losses or one win and four losses because of the schedule they have. But it's important to know, Damian, that those won't prevent them from getting in the playoffs. If you don't win any league games, you can't go to the playoffs, sure. But they'll win probably all their league games. And this strength of schedule will help them with seedings in the playoffs because there's in effect bonus points, if you will, for teams that play ambitious schedules.
What are we looking for this week, Joe? What's the big game this week?
Well, that's the game. I've got Chris Biederman. Anytime I get Chris Biederman, I'm out to a good game. So he's going to do Grant and Central East out of Fresno. I'm going to do a different game. I'm always a big picture guy. So I'm going to go to Hughes Stadium at Sacramento City College and cover Davis Blue Devils of Yolo County against the McClatchy Lions of the Sac City Unified. And somebody go, well, why would you do that? Because these are two.
You owe Kenny Caraway a favor. That's why you're doing it, right?
That's exactly right. And you know, really, it's Kenny's mother.
Of course.
And she'll say, hey, do you listen to Kenny's show every day? And I'll go, who?
Yeah.
The story is that these are two powerhouse academic schools, good in other sports, but they have not competed in football. And how they are going about trying to be better as football programs. And I just think it's an interesting story. Both schools know that football is important. I did a story a couple weeks ago, Damien, in the B on the whole formula for the high school model and making high school football so big on a campus or in a community in this region is the whole key is you don't need a Rider Alliance that helps. You don't need to be ranked. That always helps. You just need a competitive football team. You just need a team that is entertaining. And you think back to your high school days at El Camino. El Camino was entertaining. People go. They want to be entertained. If you have a bad football team that's not entertaining, people aren't going to watch. Mm-hmm. And so that's the goal that they're trying to achieve is let's get competitive. Because the other concern is if you don't get competitive in football, what do? Drop the program? We have quite a few football teams in Sacramento. About eight or nine of them are now playing eight-man football to save their football program. Well, what's the difference? Eight-man, 11-man. It adds up, especially in the line. Eight-man football, you only need three linemen. In 11-man football, you need five linemen. And I was talking to the Davis athletic director, Mark McCreary, earlier today, and he goes, we only have about six really legitimate linemen on a campus with 3,000 students. So I'm curious about that. And so I'll go check them out. We'll catch all the bruises and heavyweights the rest of the season. But I do have Nick Pecoraro checking out Wood Creek of Roseville and Whitney of Rockland, a couple of upstarts in Placer County.
Okay. Great stuff as always, Joe. We appreciate you carving out some time for us, and we're looking forward to another exciting season of Hornets football and, of course, your unmatched coverage in the high school game.
I appreciate you. It's always good to see you. Thank you for wearing the V shirt. What's that?
Oh, it's actually
Victory?
An X. Yeah, that's
oh, it's an X. I can only see half of it.
That's the X.
Okay, so it says X on the front, and then the back it says rated.
That's it. That's it. That's exactly what it says, yes. I mean, everybody knows that's what you get with me. That's it.
I love it. I love it.
Appreciate you, Joe. Thank you, my man.
Always. All right, my friend. We'll
yes,
see
sir.
You.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.